This is Maureen Guest on the 11th of February 2016, and I'm talking to Diana Pollock about her memories of her time when she lived in Whitley. Now, Diana, you moved here round about 1981. Can you remember how you first came to Great Whitley and what you first thought of it?
Yes, I got married in 1981, and I married someone who'd already bought a house here. Ken moved from London, and he was working at BBC Peppermill, so he had to buy somewhere here. And he rang me up, I can remember, and said, I've found this little cottage on the top of Whitley Hill, and it's lovely. So I came to see it, and because I was in love with him, I suppose, I looked at it and I said, oh, it's got lots of potential, because it was a sort of shack, really, on the top of Whitley Hill. There was originally a little one up, one down, Shepherd's Cottage, built of stone.
And had anyone been living in it?
Yes, yes. People had been living there, and they'd built bits on with breeze block and bits of wood. And Mr. Wall had lived there before us, and he'd moved away. So Ken bought that for about £45,000. And we then, because I'd sold my house, we got married and started doing it up, living in a caravan in the worst winter of 1981-82. And I can remember he had this suit, and when we got it out, when we moved into the house after six months or so, it was all covered in mould. Everything was covered in mould by then. So we moved into the house then, and that was April 1982. And then we had a daughter in the October, and then 2 years later, just about 2 years later, another daughter in 84. So I can remember going to mother and toddler group in the old village hall.
Yeah.
And then play school was there. And then they started at Whitley School in, well, I suppose...
Play school was run by Sandy Barr Hamilton, wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
And there were... Chris Drew helped. Do you remember Chris
yes,
Drew?
Yes, yes, yeah. I do. Yep. But as you say, one used to... Bye!
The kids go. Around, yes.
But it was about, I think I used to take them about three times a week.
Yes.
For the morning, really. So it was all very laid back and, and very few rules and regulations at that stage. But
that's right.
It was a happy community. We used to take them to Whitley Court. I remember that when Whitley Court had not had just been left, English Heritage had just left it there. So it was wild, it was, you didn't pay anything to go in there, you just went in there. And it was lovely. In fact, beautiful as it is now, it had a great charm then.
I loved the charm then. It was magical, wasn't it?
It was.
Did English Heritage, were they responsible for it then, even then?
Yes.
Were
it was,
they?
Well, it was in guardianship.
Okay.
Because Peter Walker had taken it into guardianship in about 1970s.
Okay, yeah.
So, technically, it is still owned by the people who
that's right
our family, but it's in guardianship, so in perpetuity, I think they can't do anything with it. And I think English Heritage took it on when English Heritage was formed. It was part of their portfolio of things to look after
at the beginning.
Yes, but they didn't start doing anything until they got lottery money and started really focusing on it.
That's how that happened.
So until then, it was just maintained. Yeah, sort of.
Can you remember the name of the guy that used to work on the brickwork there? Because he came from the village.
Yes, he used to live at that place out at Stockton Heath, right out. He's, the house recently been sold. I can't. In fact, I wonder if I've got it on the map, because it was out. No. Walston's Farm. You see, it was out here somewhere. Walston's Lodge. That's where he lived.
Oh, really?
Yeah, once the lodge to Woolston's Farm, which was demolished. But I can't think of his name.
No, I can't.
Anyway, yes, he did used to work on that maintenance work.
Right, yes. And then the kids went to school, and the new village hall was built round about the same time, was it?
Yes, it must have been, because the children... Yeah, it was all about the same time that they started school and the village hall was built and the old village hall was sold.
Yes,
before
that's
that.
Right. Oh, yes, it was sold to pay for the new one.
And there was a grant to help with the new village hall. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's, I suppose, when I got involved. I think I was village hall secretary just after it had been built.
Mm-hmm.
So I got involved with the grass, the land at the back, and mm-hmm. turning that into a play area with yeah. play equipment. Mm-hmm. And
I remember you planting the plants at the front.
Yes, I can remember putting in hebes and lavender and stuff like that along the flower beds at the front. And yeah. I can remember, I think it was somebody called Mr. Dallow,
mm-hmm.
and he stood there and looked down at me, and I always remember him saying, "Whoa, it's nice to see something being done at last, and these incomers, because they never do anything." And I thought, well, I've only lived here a short time, I'm really an incomer, and what are you doing, Mr. Dallow? But that was fairly typical. And also I can remember having a big notice board put up, which was the county yeah. mm-hmm. paid for, so we had that big notice board put up there. And that was before the doctor's surgery was there.
It was, yes, that's yeah. right, yeah, it came later.
Yes. So then I got involved in the school, but mm-hmm. I think I did the May Fair while I was still village hall secretary.
Right,
that was yeah. one of the things I thought we could do, because we had the land mm-hmm. at the back then. Mm-hmm.
I remember getting the kids together to do the training for the maypole dancing.
Yes, yes.
Absolute nightmare.
It was a nightmare, and it was... Somebody from Little Whitley she was a spinster lady called Veronica something. Was quite sort of, she was a tall, rather imposing lady, and she knew how a maypole dance should work.
I know who that was. It was from Shrawley.
Shrawley, that's right. And she yeah. used to run the village magazine.
She's recently died, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
she has. Mm. But that was fun, getting, as you say, yeah. we got the maypole and... ribbons and
yes.
it did work, I think, yeah. although I don't think we repeated it more than
we did it certainly
three or four years
yes, I think so yeah.
And we had all sorts of games, and I tried to introduce boule or pétanque to Great Whitley, and that didn't quite work. And Lucy, who was 8, did these fortune... I remember she went into this fortune teller's tent, yes. which she made her, and she put this scarf around her head, and she had a crystal ball, which I got. And she changed from being Lucy into this strange figure. And all the children, I remember them going in, and they really did not think that this was... I mean, they knew it was Lucy,
yeah.
but she was subtly changed into something else. It was really, really funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was fun. And it was after that, I suppose, that... I got involved with the school
mm-hmm.
and became a school governor,
yeah.
which wasn't very onerous, I have to say. Elizabeth Howell was chairman of the governors. And we had I remember doing the 200th anniversary of the founding of the school.
Oh, that's right.
I think that's when the teachers put on a performance. It might have been then.
Could have been, yes.
Because Elizabeth Howell dressed up as Queen Victoria. And we had a day when we were all in Victorian clothes.
Yes, yes.
So that was very good fun. It was a lovely school to be involved
mm-hmm.
in.
It was, wasn't it?
Very happy
yeah.
school.
Yeah.
And Harry Lewis was head for a lot of the time. And I can remember wonderful and inspired teachers like Mrs. Simmons, who had the
mm-hmm.
first class. And she used to teach them to read by using Letterland, which is still going.
Yes, yeah.
But I thought was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they don't use it more widely, because... it seemed to get the children really reading.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
Christine Briggs.
Christine Briggs, and she was very musical as well.
Yeah,
so they had
yeah.
that.
Mm-hmm.
And Dear, the one in, I think she was year two, that all the children adored.
Oh.
Round, plump, always had animals in the class, big
yeah,
spiders
loved
and things.
Her. Yeah,
they
yeah.
all loved her. Oh, gosh, awful, I can't remember her name.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, it was a lovely school. Very, very happy school. And so I was a governor there, and then they went on to the chantry, where I became a governor there as well.
Oh, were you? Oh,
yeah.
Gosh, you're brave.
Yeah, that was more onerous
mm.
and less satisfying
mm.
and rather depressing sometimes.
Mm.
In fact, I resigned
mm.
in the end
mm.
because they brought in a system of... the government wanted to bring a system of e-learning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, everything at the time was... We had e-university, which
yeah.
went down the tube. So did e-learning. And the
Chairman of the Governors and I both said, we think this is rubbish.
Yes, yes.
And you're
yes.
talking about investing time and money. We have a perfectly good school with perfectly good IT department, teachers. You're keen,
mm-hmm.
and you want to impose this stupid... Mm-hmm. So, oh, we want to be at the cutting edge, they said. You know, if you hear that phrase, you know it's doomed.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was more onerous. But Great Whitley School was lovely to be involved with.
It was, yes. And... The Quarter Green followed on from the Village Hall, didn't it?
Yes.
And you were involved in buying all the equipment?
Yes, which was really all timber stuff. I can remember
it
thinking
was lovely,
let's have natural
yes.
stuff.
Yeah.
So we had a train and a...
Yeah.
It all seemed to work.
And a walking post,
yes.
weren't there,
yes.
on a chain.
Yes, well, that sort of thing. Yeah. And I didn't have swings. I can remember thinking we wouldn't have swings because there's so many accidents caused by children.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. and we didn't have swings. There are swings there now, but I still don't like swings unless they're very controlled.
Yes, yeah. And it was after that the tennis court, it was June Payne was more involved with the tennis
she
court,
was.
Wasn't she?
She was. That was almost a separate organisation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very much June Payne's
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Baby, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. yeah. And then
I went on the parish council,
mm-hmm.
but much later, I think I was still a school governor, because I was the school representative on the parish
oh,
council for quite
work?
A long time.
Yeah.
And it was a very happy parish council to be involved in, because
yes.
Doug Bowen was chairman, and even
mm-hmm.
after that, Mike Pennington and Jeff Goodman,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They were all brilliant chairmen.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
all had the best interests of the village at heart, and they were very fair and
mm-hmm.
honest, and it was good to be involved,
yeah,
because we all got on.
Yeah,
there was no talk of having a subcommittee, you know. We said no, come on, if we had a subcommittee it was very open. It was how you felt things could
yeah.
be run if
mm-hmm.
people were really
mm-hmm.
honest and open and
work together,
and that was good. And we did quite a lot of things. We bought Bowen's Field when I was on the parish council. That was
oh,
a big,
right. yeah.
a big thing we did when we managed to we got a grant from the European lottery people to
wow.
buy Bowen's Field.
Yeah,
that was something. At that stage, John Plumridge, who's sadly dead,
yes.
lived in Whitley.
Yeah,
he was clerk for much of that time, and he was a brilliant clerk.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, it was Anne Taylor from Abbey, who was also very good
mm-hmm.
but old-fashioned. John
mm-hmm.
was more of a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
So we bought Bowen's Field, and up against much opposition from the diocese, who said no and wanted lots of money and wanted all sorts of covenants on it and things. And
oh, it was church land, was it?
It was church land.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was, we felt we'd done something good. And I can remember choosing all the trees for Bowen's Field.
Yes.
And they were all big trees from Bartram's Trees, where you get the mature thing. And they've all survived, touch wood. They've all done quite well.
We were looking at the notice board. It's got some description of all the trees still on it.
Oh, gosh. We see Mike was great chairman over that. That was
yeah.
his baby particularly.
Mm.
So we all sort of did our bit with that.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
we felt that was worthwhile. And it also meant that we opened up a footpath from the
yeah.
Stourport Road through to the Worcester Road, the surgery and all the rest
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
So that was important
it
for
was,
the village.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Lots of grumbling as usual from the villages. You know, I think it's typical of all villages.
Yes, change.
Yeah, and people who are happy keep quiet, and people who grumble
yeah.
quite loudly.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I think it worked quite well, Bowen's Field.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the Christmas carols must have come when I was Village Hall.
Yes, on the I remember. Oh yeah, making mulled wine.
You always your recipe for mulled wine with barley sugar. And I can remember scouring Worcester to find barley sugar.
Still do.
There is that old shop, and
yeah.
it's still in Worcester
yeah.
where you can get it. But
yeah.
So that was fun, and involving children from school, the Cubs particularly got involved.
Yes, yeah.
In the Christmas carols, and we almost always had Cubs, and quite often a presentation of a badge or something
mm-hmm.
With the Cubs.
And it was always well received. It was always full, wasn't
it? Was
it
was always full.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it
was.
Went down well in the village. Yeah.
I think so, because at that stage there wasn't any other Christmas celebration
no,
except
no,
the church.
That's right, yeah.
And that was a long way from the village, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I got this idea for a parish map. Well, I got, before that was the Millennium Photograph.
Yes.
When we got everybody to come to Whitley Court.
Yes.
And I was terrified it was going to rain. I can remember it wasn't the sunniest afternoon. And Angela Lloyd-James was a photographer whose mother, Angela used to live in the village, and her
Martley. Yeah.
So she came, and we got everyone to line up on the steps of Whitley Court, and there were some very nice people involved with that. Oh, heavens, there was a very nice person who's dead now. She was ill for a long time, used to live in the Glebe, and she had doll's houses.
Really?
She collected doll's house furniture, and she was a receptionist in the doctor's surgery for quite a long time, and she died in the end of cancer. But I remember her organising everyone at this thing as well. So we got everyone to stand on the steps.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked, I think, and people still...
Yeah, it's still there for everybody to see. Yes, it's lovely. Yeah.
No, it was after that I did the parish map, just because I wanted to...
Well, there's wonderful memories on there. So who does making the parish map make you think of most of all?
Well, it was Doug Bowen, who was chairman of the village hall for, I think, something like, many, many years.
Oh, it must have been, yeah.
And he was a small farmer, I mean, a smallholder in some ways in the village. But he'd been a Coldstream guardsman, and he was upright, straight as a ramrod, loved his time in the army, had wonderful memories. You know, he'd always say, you don't need a torch at night, you just have to wait till your eyes get accustomed to the dark, and all sorts of things.
And he did all the mowing around the front of the village hall, and the car, he looked after the car park.
He used to go around collecting litter, without telling anyone, just used to go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
He loved the village, and he knew so much about it, and he could remember... red squirrels on Whitley Hill. Mm-hmm. He could remember the lime kiln burners up there. He could remember an old chap called Ginger Smallman who lived up there.
Mm-hmm.
He could remember mowing around the lapwing's nests in the fields where...
In his fields.
He used to call them green plovers, not lapwings. And his favourite view was from Woodbury Hill Farm.
Yes.
Looking south across to the Morvans, and you could see the Cotswolds when it's clear.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But he knew so much about it, so I thought, well, this is all too valuable to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, I'll do the map. And he was very much really the inspiration for it. And just as I'd finished the map, he had been taken very ill with cancer and was in the front room of their house in the village. And Hilary, his wife, who's a wonderful person as well, a gamekeeper, and their two daughters, they all were there. And I took the whole finished map, which is 4 feet square down, to his bedside. And it gave him such pleasure that it really remains something I just feel worthwhile.
Yes. I did. Oh, it's a wonderful map. Yeah, absolutely. No, that's...
And looking at it, you know, there are things I've forgotten about it.
So what are your last... You moved away how many years ago?
It must be 2012 that we finally moved. We moved to a rented place because we just sold the house. It was on the market for 2 years. It was difficult to sell because it was so high. Mm. We were 800 feet up.
Was it?
So it would snow up there when it was raining in the bottom. And one of the things we did up there... The land behind, we had a big field which was very precipitous up to the ridge.
Okay, yes.
And the Worcestershire Way goes along the top.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all covered in sycamores and brambles and rosebay willow herb in the summer. Mm-hmm. But it was impassable. We cut paths through, but it became so difficult. And then Ken's father died and left us a bit of money. And we thought, well, we'll do the hill. So we got Jim Farley from Aberley and a friend of his who loved their machines or their diggers. And they came and they cleared the hill. And I can remember somebody say, well, you can't cut down them trees, you know, it's against the law. And we said, well, too bad. So anyway, we cut down all the sycamores, but left all the hawthorn, most of the hawthorns, and all the trees and the oaks and things like that, and a grove of English elms, which is still there.
And
always used to die when they got to a certain height, because they'd get the beetle and the disease would come back. But since, I don't know quite what it's like now, talking 2016, but when we left, because we cleared the hill and laid it to pasture, most of it, the elms were surviving and they were flourishing.
Oh,
in fact, I did a painting of the elms before we left, because they were so beautiful. And the hill, with pasture and having sheep on it, and we used to cut it once a year, and it was coming, we had orchids. I've never seen so many wildflowers. This was new pasture,
fantastic.
A new lay.
Yes,
but
yes.
The flowers would come back.
Oh, wonderful.
And so that was one of the things that gave us the most pleasure of living here at all. Was, and even now when I look up, I hope the people there are still looking after it, and I think they are, because they...
You told them about it.
Yes, and they know, and I think they've had sheep up there.
Yeah.
But it was a wonderful place, and the view was so extraordinary, because you could see the Black Mountains and the Brecon Beacons and it was always snowing up there when it was raining in the bottom.
Yes,
you know, it was so high.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a fantastic place to live. And we were there 32 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was a real wrench to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
But we had to.
Yeah.
And the children used to run wild up there.
Yes.
And, you know, as children did. They
yes, ran. That's right, yes.
It was lovely.
We had lots of children's parties.
Yes, yes. Oh, and it was, yes, it was.
Yeah.
It was a very happy village to be involved
it
in.
It was, yes.
And I miss it. I miss it now.
That's before all this new expansion.
Yes, it has changed.
Infill, wasn't there, before?
There were little bits of infill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I still think the best way for villages to expand is by releasing parcels of land go and let little bits of outfilling, in a way, let them expand a bit under control. But this kind of imploding great parcels of houses is just changing the nature of villages.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
You know, I think if they can trickle out a bit, that's not so bad, and it gives the farmers some chance of, you know, if they want to make a bob or two, they're having a bit of a struggle anyway.
Yes.
So, there we are.
So you lived a very full and active life in Great Whitley, didn't you, Diana? And you've got loads of artwork that you must have to remember it by as well.
Yes. Well, we did it. Every year I do a Christmas card.
That's right.
And a lot of my Christmas cards are centred on Great Whitley or their views.
Or your garden and your dogs.
Yes. Always the dogs. And I know I did one of Whitley Court Fountain once.
Yes.
With the children standing there, and they were little then, and they're all looking up and saying, yeah, Mum would like it as a Christmas present, but how do we get it home? Yes, yeah. I mean, the Whitley was almost always in the Christmas cards.
Yes, it was, yeah.
And so when I come back, it's great, it gives me a lot of nostalgia. And I can remember the bluebells on Woodbury Hill, and Doug telling me that before it was so wooded, because it was planted after the war in the 50s.
That's right, by Bede.
By Bede. And before that, it was fairly bare.
Mm.
And Doug could remember, you know, people would drive and just to see the bluebells on the hill. It was
That's right,
blue.
Yeah.
So that was quite something. And the cherry orchards, Kit Rawlings once said to me, she came here to pick cherries.
That's how she ended up in
That's
Whitley.
How she came to Whitley.
She met Jim.
She met Jim. Up a cherry tree, really. Picking cherries.
Yes, yeah.
And they've all gone. The cherry
was
orchards.
She a land girl then?
Yeah, she was. Yeah. Sort of a land girl, yes. Mm. Yes. Yeah, in fact, I think I've got a note somewhere there. Owen's buses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kip's still going, isn't she? She died.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's awful.
Yeah. Not long ago.
Oh, I wish I'd known. I didn't know that. Anyway.
So, I mean, you learnt an awful lot about the village when you did your map, I imagine.
I learnt a huge amount, because one of the people who helped me was Paul Johnson.
Oh, was it?
He had a lot of material about the village.
Yeah.
And a lot of which I've given to... Well, Paul Johnson still got it, but some I've got, I gave to Steve. And I acquired it in all sorts of places, you know, in the and people just gave me things.
Yes, yeah.
Doug had quite a lot she gave me.
Mm-hmm.
So
Oh, well, that, no,
but that's
really,
I think,
wonderful.
Steve's got a lot. Oh, it's in the archives
in Worcester Library, yeah.
Which is where the map is. And...
Well, thank you very much, Diana. That's really great to hear.
It's a bit garbled,
of you,
you know?
What you did in the village.
But it makes me sound as though I did all this, but actually...
Well, you did,
I
mean, you did.
There were loads of other people
if you ever wanted to know anything, you'd say, oh, Diana will know. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. Pleasure.